Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Legal Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. The shining tower, the shining city, the city on the hill of free speech, when all around is Zionist propaganda. That's so RBN. Support RBN. It is publicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button and send a donation. Go to nationalpeople.com. Download the Koshertified app. Learn all about kosher certification. Kosher certification is what we're going to start talking about, but you can learn all about kosher certification at the nationalpeople.com, where you'll find the link to the Koshertified app. So download it today. And then you look at the stories that on nationalbugle.com that Mark and I put up. And I put up one, and it says, "Good news, everyone." You'll see the professor, whatever his name was, from the Futurama cartoon, and he's saying, "Good news, everyone. Ghislaine Maxwell has been arrested." So, my question is, after this year, 2020, starting off with the Americans assassinating Soleimani, General Soleimani, remember that, and then the Trump impeachment trial, and the totally fake COVID-19, the virus is real, but the response is very fake, shutting us all down, and then the Black Lives Riot, all of that. Is Ghislaine Maxwell's arrest, and is that going to be the biggest news story of 2020? That's my question. Mark Dankoff, what do you think?
Well, I think in this particular situation, it would be the biggest news story of 2020 if the arrest of Ghislaine Maxwell actually led to the arrest of some other people whose names constantly come up in this case. Leslie Wexner of Columbus, Ohio, is one name.
And
that obviously
who is Leslie Wexner?
I'm trying to remember the name of the fashion outfit.
Yeah, it's Abercrombie and Fitch and Victoria's Secret.
Yeah, that's it. Victoria's Secret, Abercrombie and Fitch, and so forth. His name constantly comes up in this. And then, of course, based upon what would seem to be the prima facie evidence of Ghislaine Maxwell's links to the Israeli Mossad, the same links that her father, Robert Maxwell, had, the same links that Jeffrey Epstein had at the time of his rather interesting demise, we've got a situation here where clearly this is something that, were it to mushroom, if you'll pardon that metaphor, into something that would go after incredibly big principles that would involve a more comprehensive investigation of Bill Clinton, among other people. It would start looking at Tony Blair. Mm-hmm. It would start looking at all of these other names that had cropped up in Epstein's phone book and that undoubtedly had direct and indirect links to various Mossad operations, either on a participatory basis or on a basis of being the victim of blackmail. So I think that this is potentially the biggest story of 2020, except that obviously the people that want to cut this thing off at the pass have a lot of power and are likely to do so. This, to me, is the most interesting aspect of this case that involves Jeffrey Berman, the U.S. Mm-hmm. District Attorney for the Southern Sector of New York, who ended up being replaced by Attorney General Barr. The storyline was that, of course, Berman was being replaced because he was going after Trump and some of Trump's principles, was delving into areas of corruption in the Trump administration that no one dared to go. That was the CNN story on this. But within a week of Berman's departure, lo and behold, all of a sudden we have this Ghislaine Maxwell arrest. So a lot of people are beginning to wonder now, given the fact Jeffrey Berman is Jewish, given the fact that Berman has a lot of links to a lot of Jewish charities, and even crops up as a major speaker at one of the Jewish Holocaust Museum's events. it's quite fascinating to try and learn what we can learn about Jeffrey Berman, because all of a sudden, with the wake of his rather turbulent departure from his job in the Southern District of New York as a U.S. attorney, we suddenly get this Maxwell arrest after a period of months of not really knowing what's going on.
Did they just find out where she was in the past week since Berman's departure?
Not likely, with some of the things that have happened that have appeared on Twitter that have reproduced significant portions of the actual list of known federal charges against her. So when you start looking at that list of things, trying to go back at all of my Twitter notes here for the last few days that I have absolutely overwhelmed me, nonetheless, you start looking at this list, and it's clear that in terms of names, in terms of money trails, in terms of her known whereabouts, that they have known for quite some time, that among other things, she was living in the East Coast of the United States, as it turns out, in the Boston area, and that there were all kinds of other things that should well have been charged in this case before now that suddenly have become charged. So it would seem to me to be a suspicious thing that Berman goes and all of a sudden you have this arrest of Maxwell and more information again coming out about Maxwell. So that's pretty much what I read of the situation. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm going back in my list to see if I can come up quickly with what some of these particular charges alleged, where several people on Twitter managed to get photographs somehow, some way, of significant significant portions of the actual federal list of charges against her. And it makes for some pretty interesting reading.
Well, yes, if you click on the article where I've got the guy from Futurama, you will find the entire indictment.
There you go.
In there.
Yes.
So with and with regards to Berman being fired, his successor, who I think is going to be replaced today, but the successor, the acting U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, who announced this arrest, her name is Audrey Strauss. She, by all appearances, also seems to be Jewish. So I'll give her credit, because this is something that could really expose Jewish power in the United States, or it could just wind up, depending on things play out. I mean, that whole the Epstein arrest and the Epstein suicide should have blown the lid off of Jewish power in the United States, but it wound up not, because the media didn't pursue those angles. It was interesting.
Well, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I just to connect a few dots for people who might not have been paying attention at certain times. So Jeffrey Epstein, he had these various properties, these various very lavish mansions, and he would fly from one to another in an airplane called the Lolita Express. He actually owned an island in the Virgin Islands, of all places, called Lolita Island, and he had all of these young girls, teenage girls, always on call there. And he had all of these big movers and shakers, some of whom were politicians, some of whom were like academics from Harvard. The academics tended to be Jewish, and so he'd have these big events, and they would be attended by prominent Jewish academics and whatnot, but also by politicians. And what's alleged to have happened is that the politicians in particular were filmed, because all the bedrooms had cameras in them, and they were filmed having sex with underage girls. And some people have said, well, he's tricking these politicians to blackmail them. I call it kosher certification because I don't think they were being tricked. I think they were going into it willingly. Maybe some were tricked, but I think in general, these politicians, and some of the names that you hear, you know, certainly Bill Clinton's a big one, but you got Al Gore's been mentioned, and Donald Trump had an association with him, but Donald Trump never seemed to have gone, to my knowledge, to Epstein's properties. Epstein would come to Mar-a-Lago, so he probably wasn't compromised that way. You had Bill Richardson, who was the governor of New Mexico, then he was also the Secretary of Energy, he was an envoy to North Korea, and then a presidential candidate. He's somebody who had his sights on higher office. You had George Mitchell, who was the Senate Majority Leader, the office currently held by Mitch McConnell. So you had a lot of big deal, and who knows who else. And so my idea, and I think it's correct, I know Andrew Anglin thinks the same way, but I think I was expressing this before he was that this is kosher certification, that the people would go into it willingly, and once the Epstein, who was a Mossad agent, once the Mossad had this incriminating material, then the lights would be green for the Jewish community, for AIPAC and everybody, to support this person because they were going to be... they were going to be controllable. That's why I think this is such a big deal, because I think this blows the lid off of one of the major means by which American politics is controlled. I mean, obviously, the money. We know about the money, but this is something else. So
this could be the Jonathan Pollard case on steroids. Mm-hmm. You look at this whole situation, I think you're exactly right, Dr. Slattery. And, of course, you were talking about this early on in this case. That when one goes back in the history of Ghislaine Maxwell, and my old late friend Gordon Thomas, the author of Gideon Spies, The Secret History of the Mossad, subsequently wrote a sequel entitled Seeds of Fire, where he delved into the Robert Maxwell case in some detail, and later co-authored a book with Martin Dillon of the BBC entitled Robert Maxwell, Israel's a Super Spy. Now, if people go to YouTube, you can actually find an interview of over an hour that the late Gordon Thomas did about 3 years ago with a very, very fine interviewer who brought out salient points that were made by Thomas in the book. Now, it's not a substitute for reading the book, which is freely available on Amazon, but it gives you an overview, certainly, of the larger implications of this case. As we look at implications of this case, and add to what Gordon Thomas has laid for us in regard to a foundation for a long period of time, and look at the more recent work of Philip Giraldi on the subject, Whitney Webb on the subject. Those are two of the names that immediately come to mind that have really delved into this whole Epstein-Maxwell case. It seems, once again to me, to have the unmistakable aroma of the Israeli Mossad and a blackmail operation of major U.S. politicians and media figures and celebrities generally that, again, might turn out to, if it were investigated properly and properly brought to the attention of the American people, would be the Jonathan Pollard case on steroids.
Mm. So
as damaging as the Pollard spy case was, it is, is, this could be worse.
So you mentioned Robert Maxwell. Why is it that we think there might be a Mossad link between Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell on the one hand, and Mossad? Oh, Maxwell.
Yeah, exactly. And the Robert Maxwell case and the Gordon Thomas Martin Dillon book about the Robert Maxwell era and the Robert Maxwell persona and the implications of that case in terms of Maxwell's known work for the Israeli Mossad. This should contextualize over a very, very long period of time what we are dealing with in regard to the Epstein-Maxwell case now. And obviously, I don't think there is one person in 100 in terms of thinking people. There's no one who believes that Epstein killed himself in jail. This has all of the earmarks of a rub out to ensure silence. And in regard to this whole situation with Ghislaine Maxwell, as I said yesterday on Twitter, in something that was directed to Ghislaine Maxwell, although she'll never see it, I made sure that all of the major Jewish news agencies and relevant Israeli governmental agencies saw it. Mm-hmm. I said, well, Ghislaine, your old man was number one. Epstein is number two. Are you going to be number three? And then, of course, there were pictures of her with Epstein. There were several pictures of Gordon Thomas's book, the Gordon Thomas Martin Dillon book on that were attached to this message. And finally, there was a photoshopped picture, a meme, as it were, of Epstein jumping off of his jail cell with a rope around his neck. This sort of thing is important to post on Twitter, if only for the fact that people, we pray, will see it. People who've not been up on this case at all up to this juncture will begin to see the deeper implications and the deeper meaning of this case. And for Maxwell to be arrested at this juncture in the case, and as you have pointed out, Dr. Slattery, between the Soleimani assassination and this COVID-19 circumstance and the downturn in the economy, what would appear to be the final death of the JCPOA treaty as far as the United States is concerned, the potential for a wider war with Iran, you start looking at all the things that have come up in regard to the George Floyd situation and the aftermath of that in Minneapolis in regard to what clearly are Marxist-inspired and anarchistic, anarchist-inspired riots in this country. You know, for suddenly this Maxwell case to come into focus again tells us that clearly the media understands how big this is. And because of the number of media people with major links to Israeli intelligence circles, a lot of these media folks are going to be sweating, trying to figure out how this thing can be contained in a fashion which maybe enables Maxwell to be convicted of something, put in prison for a time, and where she does not have the same fate as Epstein in a jail cell, but nonetheless where the media can keep Israel's name and face largely out of the case. But that's getting harder and harder to do, especially now that you have a former Israeli prime minister whose name has come up allegedly as one of Epstein's clients.
So, well, how will the media handle this? Because there's so much damning information that is publicly available, but you're not going to hear it on CNN. Tucker Carlson has emerged as the most important name in the news media. He's got the most popular news show. What's actually, it's now emerging as the most popular news show of that genre ever. So he's got the biggest audience, and he's been more and more aggressive about things, and he's been pushing boundaries. Last night, he had on the U.S. attorney for Washington, D.C., and he was asking him about the monuments, and the U.S. attorney was answering questions, but, you know, he said something about, well, we've identified left-wing and right-wing groups that are associated with these tearing downs of the monument. And Tucker, he listened to him for a little bit with a skeptical face, and then he stopped him and said, okay, what right-wing groups? How many right-wing people? Because my guess would be about zero. And he actually really pushed him. He said, can you name a right-wing group that is associated with this? And the U.S. attorney refused to. And so he really held him to task for that, which nobody else would. Then he did later in the show have on a woman who had written a book about Jeffrey Epstein. And, of course, the woman's name was something Goodman, and she was clearly Jewish. And Tucker was talking about Ghislaine Maxwell and saying, well, you know, she had been reported to have gone to Israel. And then later he said something about her being close to the Israeli embassy in Paris. So he was starting to, but then he said her father was British. Well, after the break, we'll explain just how British her father was. We'll be right back.
Make the world go away and get it off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
And make the world go away.
Okay, so we are back, and just before the break, I was recounting Tucker's interview with somebody regarding Ghislaine Maxwell and her arrest, and the woman had written a book on Jeffrey Epstein, but It was just all about the sex, and it didn't seem like anything that was going to get at the whole Mossad link. And this was clearly a Mossad operation. Whether Tucker gets to that or not will be interesting. Whether he really follows this or not will be interesting, really telling, because he has been the lone voice really on calling out the Republican Party for going along with the Black Lives rioters. So we'll see what happens, but Tucker referred to Ghislaine Maxwell's father as being British. Well, how British was he? He was so British that he was born in Czechoslovakia, and in 1948, the year of Israeli independence, he was instrumental in getting the Czechoslovakian government to send weaponry to the Jews in Israel, or in Palestine, to help them wage a successful war of independence and conquer 78% of the land in the Palestinian Mandate. That's how British he was. He did wind up going to Britain and starting a big media empire, and he was in the House of Commons for a period. Eventually, he was found dead floating off of his yacht under mysterious circumstances. This is after he had been exposed to have plundered his own media empire's pension fund because he had run into financial trouble. So he had been floating, and there are others like Ryan Dawson who have looked into this more. Ryan Dawson and others. So maybe we'll talk about that. But it's possible that he had overplayed his hand with the Mossad and tried to get more money from them. Who knows what happened? But
that is the thesis of Gordon Tomlin and Thomas and Martin Dillon.
And what kind of long... can you explain his funeral? Just like what the significance of his funeral and where it took place?
Yes, the funeral is on the Mount of Olives. I am going to condense the central thesis of the book to its most simplistic and easily understood. But the long and the short of it is that Robert Maxwell had been a major player in Israeli Mossad operations worldwide for a very long time. The book demonstrates that, goes back into his history, which includes the history you just mentioned, Dr. Slattery. And as you look at it, Robert Maxwell at one point took a tremendous embezzled or shall we say borrowed a tremendous amount of money, stole a tremendous amount of money from his Daily Mirror employee pension fund and turned it over to the Mossad for many of their covert operations around the world, especially in Europe.
Okay, is that what now, it was? All right.
Yes, exactly. And at one point, Maxwell began to be extremely nervous about the fact that he could not keep the purloining of that money or the temporary purloining of that money a secret for much longer. And so he was pressing the highest authorities in Jerusalem to get the money back to him so he could get it back into the Daily Mirror employee pension fund and no one would be the wiser. The Israelis apparently balked at this or said that they needed more time.
And what year was this?
This would go back, let's see, I'm trying to remember now, the year of Maxwell's death.
Was it late 1980s?
Like, yeah, that's my memory or so? On this in terms of the year that he actually finally, shall we say, expired off the Canary Islands when he had a very, very interesting situation that transpired on his ship. But as you look at this, 1991.
Okay.
Died on the 5th of November, 91, age 68. So it was the 5th of November, 1991. So we're going back almost 30 years ago. But at any rate, at one point, as Thomas and Dillon tell the story, Maxwell had made some specific threats to the Israeli Mossad and apparently also the then Prime Minister of Israel, that if these guys weren't more helpful in getting this thing covered for Maxwell in regard to getting that money back into the employee pension fund of the Daily Mirror, that Maxwell was prepared, if he got caught, to start singing about what he knew about what he had been doing for the Israelis, that he would in fact say, well, the reason I kind of temporarily borrowed this money is that I was helping our friends in Israel do X, Y, and Z. At that particular point, apparently Yitzhak Shamir recognized, according to Thomas and Dillon, that Maxwell was becoming increasingly unstable in regard to the fact that he might start talking if he got nervous enough. And so basically, so the story goes, they arranged to meet Maxwell off the coast of the Canary Islands. And in this particular case, Maxwell was out there with his ship, the Lady Ghislaine, named after his ill-fated daughter. And lo and behold, he was greeted by a special team of Israeli assassins who were in scuba gear, who, according to the account given by Thomas and Dillon, came up on the ship, overpowered Maxwell, and basically shot an air bubble into his veins.
Okay.
And killed it.
Let's hear the rest of that story on the other side of the break.
Very good.
Any time you're feeling lonely, any time you're feeling blue,
you are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang.
Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
Welcome back to the show. So we left off just before the break with Robert Maxwell being assassinated by the Israeli Mossad with an air bubble to the vein.
Yes, that at least is the Martin Dillon Gordon Thomas or Gordon Thomas Martin Dillon account of this, and that apparently the nature of that assassination was such that there would be nothing that would turn up in an autopsy. Salt water would erase any evidence of the puncture wound, so the account goes. And finally, when Maxwell's body was recovered, he ended up having a state funeral being performed on his behalf on the Mount of Olives in Israel, where he was given the equivalent of a burial with complete Israeli governmental and military honors. And unbelievably, if you believe the Gordon Thomas account, and I do, I knew Thomas personally. We had a lot of off-the-record conversations about these matters about 10 years after the thing took place. Basically, Yitzhak Shamir actually of a man that he had secretly wanted
okay,
to kill.
Okay, you
that,
cut
that
out
Maxwell
for just a second. Yitzhak Shamir what?
Shamir eulogized Maxwell.
Okay.
He was the interesting thing is that
so the Prime
Yitzhak
Minister
Shamir,
of the Prime Minister of Israel eulogized Maxwell.
Right. Basically saying that Robert Maxwell had done more for Israel than possibly could be chronicled in this eulogy being given by the Israeli prime minister, who, unbeknownst to the world, but very well known to the insiders, had actually ordered Maxwell's death. Mm-hmm. So this is the deception of the Israeli Mossad personified, at least in the Gordon Thomas, Martin Dillon spinning of the narrative. And I happen to believe that narrative, by the way. And, of course, as Thomas underscores, it gets back to the whole issue of the Mossad motto, by way of deception, thou shalt do war. And I think it's widely accepted in circles in Israeli intelligence now, with positive relations with certain elements in the Israeli media, that these things are hinted at from time to time and winked at, but there has never been, and I'm sure never will be, official confirmation of what in fact Shamir ordered and why.
So I had asked about the exact year, because I knew a lot of this was going on in the 1980s. So the actual death was in 1991. I asked that because I had not heard that the money was being pilfered from the retirement fund of Robert Maxwell's media empire in order to supply money to the Mossad. And that's very interesting. And you think, well, wouldn't the Mossad have money? Well, you think of these things that, you know, this would have been going on during the 1980s. Well, what was going on in Israel during the 1980s? The 1980s was a decade of financial crisis for the Israeli government. The Israeli government, I'm always shelling for shekels. January 1st, 1980, the shekel was not the currency of Israel. The pound was. They had the Israeli pound. They had a currency crisis. They had to replace their currency. A few years later, they had a banking crisis. Then they had hyperinflation. And, you know, they had replaced the pound with the shekel in 1980. Well, the shekel had to be replaced with the new shekel later in the decade. So it was just massive financial crisis. Israel was staying afloat by the sale of Israel bonds to American Jews and supposedly Jews in other places, and also to municipal governments in the United States. I think President Reagan, when he was governor, forced municipal governments in California to buy Israeli bonds. So the notion that the Mossad would have been using Robert Maxwell's empire as a source of funding is not at all far-fetched.
Well, that's right. And when you actually read the Gordon Thomas, Martin Dillon book on this whole matter of Robert Maxwell, Israel's super spy, and check it out, Dr. Flattery, you'll find it comes up very, very quickly on Amazon and elsewhere. This is an amazing tale. Thomas makes the statement in the interview that he did that's available on YouTube that lasts for over an hour. And with all the work that Gordon Thomas had done reporting on intelligence matters for many, many years, and he was also a very accomplished playwright, Thomas had sold millions of books worldwide, but he himself said that the Maxwell case was the most amazing and fascinating case that he had ever encountered.
Okay, so that's Robert Maxwell. That is Ghislaine Maxwell's father. She was his favorite child, and he named his yacht that he was assassinated on, Lady Ghislaine. I'm using the French pronunciation of the name. We'll hear it pronounced in a variety of ways. And she hooked up with Robert Epstein, I guess, was it shortly after her father's demise? And she seems to have been Epstein's Mossad handler. Hopefully we'll get more details, and we'll be talking about it more. Before we move on to other items on the big board, are there big board items up there regarding her arrest that you'd like to mention, that our listeners should
Nothing
hear?
That I have posted in the last 24 hours because of my busyness on things going on here in San Antonio. The one thing I hope to get posted today, and undoubtedly will get posted for our listeners, is the link to that Gordon Thomas interview on YouTube. I think that will provide a lot of additional background on this Maxwell situation. both the previous Maxwell as well as the current one, that will shed additional light not only on Jeffrey Epstein, but this whole question on the Israeli Mossad. That is the connection. Anyone who attempts to say otherwise, really, I'm thinking is either involved in deliberate subterfuge or has not really delved into this case, because no one who takes a look at the Thomas Dillon materials can fail to understand that this was this whole business of Epstein and Maxwell's daughter was an Israeli Mossad intelligence operation and blackmail operation and influence operation for the state of Israel all the way down the line. And only then can we understand what a serious matter this is. A pedophilia ring in a sex trafficking ring is serious business enough, obviously, when the motive is primarily money. But when the motive is to gain complete control and influence over the foreign and domestic policy of the United States, that is how high the stakes are in regard to getting to the bottom of this case and getting to it publicly.
Okay, so because we're recording several hours before showtime, even if you're listening to this as part of the RBN live feed, check out nationalbugle.com. You may well find that article that Mark just mentioned up there right now. So there's something I want to ask before we move on. So now the arrest has been made, and well, there are certainly other things that might distract the news media, but if to the extent the news, do you think that there are those in the news media who are going to say, well, okay, the arrest has been made, let's try to spin this into something damaging for Donald Trump? How do you think the media is going to handle this?
Well, that's it's going to be fascinating to see how that goes, because there is absolutely no way that the media should be able to get away with that, because, yeah, Trump knew Epstein. Trump may well have known Robert Maxwell. I don't recall, because it's been a number of years since I've read Gordon Thomas's transcript on this. I don't recall how well Trump may have known the senior Maxwell. But suffice it to say that when you start looking at the connections of the senior Maxwell as well as and Ms. Maxwell, this transcends Donald Trump. There is no way, if the media goes down that road, that Mr. Trump should fail to expose whatever is known about this whole situation, which would lead in all kinds of incredible directions, including to some major figures in the Democratic Party, obviously, including and especially Bill Clinton, who was known to be especially close to Epstein, and who, by the way, it has come out in the Russian media. They have publicized in their English language media the existence of this new book, which I have not read, which alleges that Bill Clinton's real connection to the Epstein ring, as far as his own personal appetites happen to be concerned, was Clinton's long-standing relationship with Ghislaine Maxwell herself. I am not reporting that as fact, but it's something that's alleged in a new book. There's several articles out there in RT about it that people might want to take a look at.
Right. Ghislaine Maxwell, you know, what little I know about her, so, I mean, she wasn't a teenage girl when she was hooked up with Jeffrey Epstein, and that seemed to be Jeffrey Epstein's predilections. But she had some sort of relationship with him, and I think she might have had a crush on him. Who knows? Who knows what's going on there? Her mother was not Jewish, so she was only half Jewish by ancestry, I believe. I think her mother was just a regular French woman. And she was born in France, has a French passport and all. There are people like Clinton, who was reportedly on the Lolita Express 26 or 27 times, according to flight logs. So there are people who, I guess, and Prince Andrew was famously close to, I don't know what Prince Andrew would have been getting out of Epstein, because, you know, how much social climbing does a British prince really need, right? He probably just liked the access to the young girls. And maybe that was Bill Clinton, too, because do we have evidence that, Bill Clinton was, he became president in 1993. Was Epstein really in a position to promote Bill Clinton's rise to the presidency back in 1992? I don't know. So it might well be that Clinton's relationship with Maxwell was one where Maxwell was able to procure for Clinton what Clinton wanted. But these other names like George Mitchell or Al Gore or, you know, who else, Bill Richardson, these are people that don't seem to have spent a whole lot of time with Jeffrey Epstein. Maybe only went over once, but that's all that would be needed for the kosher certification. So, I mean, it's my theory that you would have people who would just go over once, they'd get kosher certified, that Epstein would have the goods on him. And, you know, all of these tapes, all of these videotapes, who's got them? Because remember, Epstein was arrested, and it was like 4 weeks before the FBI secured his residences. They didn't secure his residences. And so what happened to these tapes? Do you remember that, Mark?
Yes, absolutely. And obviously this is another version, if you want to put it this way, of what happened to Vince Foster, right? And the strange death of Vince Foster, as Christopher Ruddy tells it. Here you had the chief legal advisor to then-President Bill Clinton, turns up dead under very mysterious circumstances at Fort Marcy Park off of the George Washington Parkway one night. A lot of evidence of suicide not being what happened to Vince Foster. That's been debated for years. But there is one thing that we do know, and that is that you had a couple of imbecilities going on there. One is that the National Park Service was assigned to the investigation of the mysterious and violent death of the chief legal advisor to the President of the United States instead of the FBI. That's mm-hmm. number one. And then number two, as you point out in the Epstein case, Foster's office was not sealed at the White House. You had a situation where Maggie Williams, who was then the chief of staff to Hillary Clinton, was given access, apparently for purposes, or so the story goes, of sanitizing Foster's office before a very belated arrival on the part of federal law enforcement. So there were sponge Foster's files of anything that might give us a deeper understanding of why he, in fact, had such an untimely demise, shall we say. But clearly the whole issue with the Epstein case was not only making sure that Epstein didn't survive to talk, but that a lot of the documentation that existed disappeared, and it would seem that much of that, in fact, has happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just to recap before we move on, it's my view that you had some people, like Prince Andrew probably, or perhaps Bill Clinton, who liked having access to young girls and were with Epstein repeatedly. There are some people who you seem to have only been there once, and I think that was for social, for they probably didn't enjoy having sex with young girls, but were willing to do it in order to be kosher certified. And I think there was a third type that people like Alan Dershowitz, who weren't there to be kosher certified. They were there, maybe they were, but they were there to provide cover for politicians to come. If you have a bunch of Harvard professors and everything, then it seems like a very why wouldn't you attend such a function? And maybe they were being paid off one way. Maybe they were being paid off with the young girls. Maybe they were being paid off with money. Who knows? Maybe they was just kind of like, well, this you're a Jew and this is your obligation. You have to come. I don't know. But that's okay. Do you have any? We have a minute before the next break. Do you have any thoughts on this before we move on to other subjects? for the end of the
show.
Well,
we'll move on to other subjects after the break, but again, I would simply want to emphasize that the Mossad is the obvious context of this, a blackmail, big-time blackmail operation to gain control of the United States government, and media was a major part of this whole situation. It was the ultimate motivation behind it all. And to the extent that the American people know anything at all about this, they should simply insist that their quote-unquote government get to the bottom of this and get to the bottom of it right now.
Okay. Well, we will be back right after the break.
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We seed Marsh Jackson.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Couldn't catch 'em down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
And we are back, and in these last few minutes, Mark, what are some good articles that people can look forward to when they log on? You don't have to log on, but when you pull up nationalbugle.com.
Well, there are a series of things that, of course, I am going to have up here on the big board for us. CNN is going after QAnon today. That's not a terrific story, but it does bear noting that they are increasingly being irritated by this whole QAnon Channel 4 manifestation that has been going on in the last several years. Ron Paul has been talking an awful lot about herd immunity as it relates to COVID-19 and the fact that the media is cooking the book on statistics.
And remember, Ron Paul is a physician.
He is a physician, and that between the way in which these statistics are being counted and the fact that the lethality of the virus is in free fall, Ron Paul is suggesting that the real story that isn't being told is the development of herd immunity in the United States in terms of at least the lethality of COVID-19. So we'll get that up in the big board. Press TV, of course, continues to cover the JCPOA situation as it relates to the United States. I have an interview with Press Television that's out there in regard to comparing what AOC is saying about the Israeli annexation of properties and what those of us on the anti-Zionist right are saying, much of which coincides. So that interview will be up there for people to take a look at. LifeSite News is suggesting that this might be the last birthday of the United States in regard to what is happening in the fragmentation of our society. I don't think that that's a sensationalistic headline, especially as the National Football League has now announced that the so-called black national anthem will lead in every stadium in the country in week one.
Well, what is the black national anthem? Is it the theme song to Shaft? What is it?
No, it isn't the theme song to Shaft.
I would go along with that, maybe. But
yeah, I could go along with Shaft, actually. But no, this is one I have not listened to or have heard of before. I will enlighten myself over this 4th of July weekend and also get it up on the big board. But that is definitely a serious story, folks. It is out there. And I'll have some additional materials out there in regard to the United States government's LGBTQ operation at the American Embassy in Moscow, as well as what Pompeo continues to do with LGBTQ in Kiev. Mm-hmm. And it's quite fascinating. I have contacted Franklin Graham of Decision Magazine with all of this and said, hey,
Mike Pompeo.
I'd like to see this in the cover very, very soon.
Yeah, Mike Pompeo, big gay Mike, because he promotes big gay.
Exactly.
Okay, we have a couple more minutes. Is there anything else?
Well, basically, as we start to talk about the 4th of July weekend, it certainly does occur to me that going back to this LifeSite News story on this subject, and that's a video that's out there, as I understand it, that has been produced by John Henry Weston, who kind of runs the LifeSite News operation. It really does underscore all of the overt changes in the United States and its culture, certainly, Dr. Slattery, that we have seen in our lifetimes. But to say that the speed of these events since the death of George Floyd is breathtaking, mm-hmm. Is maybe the understatement of the year.
Yeah.
I can't say that I could have possibly envisioned that by the 4th of July this year that we would be dealing with the level of economic and political and cultural and societal and racial dislocation that I see going on in this country.
It is amazing. Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining us today.
Hey, always good to be with you, and everyone have a safe and productive 4th of July, and we'll see all of you next week.
And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party
and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.